Hello, everybody, and thank you for tuning in to the Liberty Report. With me today is Chris Rosini, our co-host. Chris, welcome to the program.
Great to be with you. Good morning, Dr. Paul.
Good morning. I want to talk about socialism. There's a lot of talk about socialism in the news, and some people promote socialism, and some of them even win seats in the Congress. But I thought the 20th century eliminated anybody ever thinking again about socialism because it was such a failure. But it's in the news in spite of the fact that the economic statistics are pretty good compared to a socialist country. You know, we have our problems, but compared to what Venezuela, a strong socialist country, is doing, you know, we're doing pretty good. And yet there are people who say what we need is socialism. But there's been a little bit of firing back on that because the president says we will never be socialists, and Vice President Pence says we'll never be socialists. We'll never. The people won't accept socialism, and there's a grain of truth to that. But we have to be careful because sometimes people who promote an agenda that people don't want. We don't want socialism, but they can be seduced into taking something that is very much like it, or it is, but it's called by another name. And I think that's what will happen because right now we're dealing with an argument about those who want socialism because there's shortcomings in what we have. And I think the conservatives and Republicans make a mistake by sort of defending exactly what we have now as it being an example of free market economics. And I don't think that is the case. So some of the challenges to what we have are legitimate. And yet, if we say these are the free markets, it sort of feeds into this thing, well, maybe we need something better if this is the best they can do. So I think that's the reason that socialism is getting more attention than they deserve. And it'll be interesting to see because there's a lot of talk about it. The presidential race, especially on the Democratic side, will be talking a lot about socialism. And Trump won't mince words. But what we'd like to do today, Chris, is sort of sort all this out to sort of tip people off on exactly what they ought to be looking for when they talk about socialism and watch out for the tricky words that they use to sort of seduce the people into believing, well, our shortcomings, I guess we do need a little bit more socialism. You know, we have a messed up system here in medicine and there. So, well, we better accept some of this because some people believe, actually, especially it was said after 9/11, you have to sacrifice liberty for safety, and you have to sacrifice liberty for to have economic security. Those are terms that I don't like. And Chris, I know you have an opinion about this.
I do, Dr. Paul, and it is good. I mean, Trump says America will never be a socialist country, but let's not kid ourselves. America is riddled with socialist policies and has been for at least 100 years. You know, 50% of Americans receive some kind of federal money. It means half the country is taking money using government from the other half. And America will never be socialist. You know, Margaret Thatcher said that socialism always runs out of other people's money. Well, the U.S. government is out. It's $22 trillion in the red, and it has 100 or 200 trillion in obligations that it owes to people that it can't cover. So America will never be socialist. You know, more accurate statement is socialist policies have failed in America, just as they have failed everywhere else in the world. But they're not really saying that.
Yes, and I think this is where there is some confusion because there is a lot of failures, and they think that's free market, and they blame free markets. But as you point out, they're at least socialistic. There is a point where severe economic interventionism, which uses socialistic policies like in medicine right now, that's a horror because of government socialistic attitudes, and yet people want to go further along with that. But, you know, in my lifetime, there's been several times when this extreme interventionism has gone to one step further that makes it a socialist economy, and that is when you have wage and price controls on. And also, Chris, the one thing that you talk about, we already have some. One of the biggest things that you could call socialistic, but it's half of our economy because we have control of interest rates and money supply by a central bank. And that was one of the top things that they wanted in the Communist Manifesto, was a central bank that would control things because they are so powerful. But I remember, well, of course, World War II, I remember that, wage and price controls. I remember the rationing stamps and all this kind of stuff. And then it was the same way in Korea. And then it came once again with Nixon. You know, when he closed the gold window, he introduced wage and price control. And that was when I was in medicine by that time, and it played havoc. And, you know, just getting paper, you know, for your copy machine was difficult, because as soon as the controls of the prices were put on, they might say, well, they already have something in line, though, so they'll sell it at the price. No, they sell it at the price they have to replace it with. So that was what happened. Things just dried up so quickly, and the economy crashed. And luckily, just because common sense had to prevail, they finally took them off. But they didn't get rid of all the problems. They just gave a little bit back again in that free market pricing. But Mises is very clear on this. When the main reason why socialism will fail is when you control prices, and that is the case. But we still have a lot of control on prices. That's one of the reasons why I think the medical care system is so bad, because Obamacare sort of toppled the medical care system into a socialist system, although it's mixed in with this corporatism. Because when I was on the House floor fighting on this prescription drug program presented by the conservative Republicans, the drug companies were there. And the more we got government involved, the more corporations came to Washington. You know, it was the drug companies, insurance companies, and medical management companies, the organizations for physicians to try to make sure their fees are held up. So it is a terrible mixture. We have a lot of socialistic things going on. But I think the biggest job that we have coming from a free market position, Chris, is to try to convince people that don't sit around and take the blame for the problems we have and say, oh, well, we do have a few shortcomings on our problems. And therefore, what we have to do is have a little bit of socialism. And we need to help the people. They shouldn't fall through the cracks. And they go on. And they sacrifice piecemeal until we end up with a situation like this, where literally avowed socialists can win seats into Congress, which hasn't been done since the Depression time.
Right, Dr. Paul, it's a shame. And you mentioned the other major problem, and that's corporatism. And this is a tough one for people, because in government schools, you're not going to learn the truth. But whenever you hear government regulations, think corporatism. Government is not a regulator. That is such a fraudulent term. It makes no sense, and it's impossible. Government's job is to punish if somebody uses force or if somebody uses fraud. Markets are the toughest regulator of them all, which is why big corporations, they hate free markets. They don't want anything to do with them. If corporations wanted free markets, you know, Ron Paul ran twice for president. You know how many corporations were supporting him? Zero, because they have no interest. Corporations want government regulations. That's how you become rich. That's how you protect yourself from competitors. You know, it's much easier to get yourself a politician than to service fickle consumers all the time. So if you have a bone to pick with corporations, and a lot of people do, call for free markets, and you'll see how hard they fight against you, because they want government regulations.
You know, we have people that are very sympathetic and are libertarians, and there's sort of a line they try to draw by being a minimalist, very, very little government, whatever is absolutely necessary, versus no government and let the market sort all things out. Not many people are talking about any chance of that, but people do understand the Constitution, and that was sort of a minimalist government. They didn't have a welfare state. They didn't advocate an empire. Matter of fact, they advised against against an empire. But there's this power is given at the local level, a police power, and the national defense is part of the Constitution. You can have a defense to defend the country. But they've had failure there. I mean, all you have to do is pick up the papers today and listen to the problems on television. And there's, a lot of problems with the policing activities and the drug activities that go on. So I would say they don't get a high grade for doing the job they're supposed to do, although it's limited. Also, on defense, we don't have defense. We have militarism, which we use to be aggressively going into other countries. So in this minimalist government, we give them such a little bit to do, and they don't do it well. So what do people want to do? Turn everything over to them. You know, it's sort of like what happens when some of these programs fail, and what happens? They go and they keep adding and continue to do the same things that have been a major problem. And I think that we don't learn from the mistakes, and people are very attractive to something where there's false promises. Everything's going to be okay. We're going to make you safe and prosperous. We will take care of you, because that's the only humanitarian thing you can do. If you don't do it, you have no compassion. You don't care about people. Just think of those terms. If you say anything about having a more orderly entry to the country and the borders, that you have no compassion whatsoever. Of course, the people who claim that those who want an orderly border are the ones who don't seem to care about the people here at home that are living in the streets as a consequence of big government. So that is the real problem. But it gets old. People get poor and they listen to the propaganda. The politicians are pretty smooth on this, and they promise these things, and people are lulled into it. Say, well, he's saying this, they're going to take care of us. And lo and behold, guess what? We get a lot of turndowns. This last recession was a big recession, and I sort of accept the idea that we never really got out of that recession, mm-hmm. and we've propped it up with more debt and spending, and we're going to have another downturn. It's going to be much worse. So far, Chris, we haven't solved our problems of what we have, but we will continue, to present the case for free markets.
Right, Dr. Paul, and I'll finish. You know, if socialism, corporatism, these are the major problems, then the answer is, free markets and liberty. I mean, what should be done? I mean, people always say, well, what would you do? Well, what has to happen, and it's either going to happen voluntarily or we're going to be forced to do it, is you have to cut government drastically, cut agencies, cut bureaucracies, regulations, spending, debt. And, you know, President Trump, I know he has a lot of fans in America and waving flags, but he's doing none of this. You know, instead, government is growing exponentially. He's subsidizing businesses. He's increasing the biggest size of the military empire ever. So he's further socializing America and further feeding the corporate cronies. So it's not going to happen on his watch, but that is what has to happen. And like I said, it could be done voluntarily, or a major financial crisis will usher people in to have to do it because they have no other choice.
Very, very good. And in socialism, it is a promise that people will be taken care of. And we've already talked about the practical disadvantages of socialism. And that should appeal to a lot of people. If it doesn't work, why are we doing it? But I think there's another approach that I think is every bit as important, because whether it's free trade or whatever I argue for, I do it from a moral point of view, because socialism depends on force and violence and monopoly control of somebody who wants to be a bureaucrat and they want to be an elitist and tell other people how to live because they know what is best and they're doing it for your good, so to speak. So they're always well-intended, at least they want to appear that way, but the cultural Marxism, you know, comes out of that. If they can monkey around with the economy and make sure you have free education and free housing, and especially if you're illegal, and then everything is free and you're going to take of it, take care of it, what is left? They have to get into this social stuff, and this social Marxism, social cultural warriors going on. This is a real problem, and I think everybody can witness it. All you have to watch the news and watch how four individuals are able to gather the attention and demagogue their issues through there, and people say, oh, yeah, we need this language police. And who needs the language police? The people I know don't want the language police, but the media does, and they think it's great. And all you have to do is saying something stupid, and you get on. Now, the most ridiculous, I saw an article that said that a hospital really fouled up because a man came to the emergency room, and the hospital didn't realize he was pregnant. And the hospital was being charged for this, for their ineptness. I mean, that is crazy. And it's almost like our society goes from a little tinkering with socialism, then a lot of tinkering, then social Marxism, and then I think it turns into masochism. Not only to these people who want to run our lives and run the economy, they're elitists who think they're above everybody else, but actually the society, if they accept this, they're a bunch of masochists. I have to sometimes feel guilty myself when I put up what I put up with when I go flying airplanes. I mean, we go through this stuff. So I just hope we wake up. And I know it's not easy, but we have these problems. Socialism obviously is not the answer, but we need to sort out the terms and know exactly what our problems are today, and don't falsely call it a free market economy that we have to give into so that the socialists can have their way. I think that is the way we ought to go if we care anything about peace and prosperity. I want to thank everybody for tuning in today to the Liberty Report. Please come back soon.